When I go around the country with Lee and, you know, I give a speech here and there, somebody always in the audience will ask me a question about 2012, and they'll say, so what do you think is going to happen? And my answer now is pretty well tied into the sun. I because of the fact that we're, you know, going into a solar maximum pretty soon, I think something's going to happen to the sun. And the Omega Point basically highlights something that goes wrong with the sun, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm looking right now as we speak at the June 9th, 12th through 18th, 2010, New Scientist. I am looking at the cover. On the cover is an enormous image of the sun, and in the middle of that image, a huge headline, What's Wrong with the Sun?
Oh, my.
And the sun is not functioning the way we thought it would. What we thought a few years ago was that we would be already well into the largest solar max ever recorded. This was what was expected. Instead, we've gone through a long period of quiet sun, much quieter than had been expected. It's not the quietest period we know. The Maunder Minimum and the Little Ice Age were both quieter than this, but it is unexpected in the extreme after the last solar max, which was very intense, and what we understood about what's going on inside the sun indicated that the exact opposite of what is happening would be happening. And what's disturbing about that is that it means we don't know. We don't have a really clear track on what's happening to our essential star right now anymore. We don't know.
That's scary.
And, well, just on Father's Day, there were a series of phenomenal eruptions on the sun. The solar max is really starting, and it is whether it will be a huge solar max or other things will happen, I don't know, but it's fairly clear at this point that what is going to be happening to the sun is different from what we had thought would be the case now.
And do you know if anything goes awry with an X flare pointed right at our planet, we're cooked in terms of electronics in our way of life? The grid goes.
Yeah, potentially. It's the double whammy that you have to worry about, where one comes up, and that this nearly happened, actually, and it might have been August of 1972, where there was a pulsed, two big flares pulsed, one right after the other. One of them stripped away the magnetic field, and the other one came in just afterwards, but it came in just a couple of days too late to have reached the surface with when the planet was virtually naked of its magnetic field. But the thing that's disturbing about this is both the sun's magnetic field and the Earth's magnetic field right now are weakening, and we don't know why. We assume that's probably true all over the solar system. But for example, in the past few years, we've seen a lot of energy obviously being absorbed in the outer planets like Mars and Jupiter, where they're clearly being heated in by means that we don't fully understand. And yet the minimum, the solar minimum that has just passed, has thrown all the global warming models into disarray.
Oh, completely.
Completely, because, you know, what is probably, and I'm not a weather forecaster, but my best guess for this summer in the Northern Hemisphere is that you're going to have a short but very sharply hot summer, where once the planet gets turned far enough towards the sun, it's the solstice today, the summer solstice, and it will go farther toward the sun over the next couple of months. You're going to see a very, very hot period in the center of the continent. We'll see it in the center probably of the European continent, too, in late July or in August.
You know, with everything that's been going on with the spill, the economy, we could ill afford to have anything happen with the sun creating havoc on this planet at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's another thing that's happening, which I'm happy to announce. There's evidence that we're getting into another 40-year cycle of increased volcanic activity, too. So we're just, you know, what else could happen? It reminds me of the movie Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, where they have so many disasters. John Candy and the two of them have so many disasters. When a car catches on fire, they don't even care anymore. They just sort of take it for granted.
They just throw their arms up in the air.
Right.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Well, you know the old saying: "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Maybe that's what's happening to us right now.
Well, let's hope it doesn't kill us.
No.
You know, because the thing is, you can get a cascade of rapid change on this planet. That's one of the things that happens here, where you have periodically, you'll have these sudden cascades of rapid change, and everything, the whole planet just overturns itself. You know, there's a very fascinating book published quite a few years ago, I think back in the 70s, called Hamlet's Mill, which is one of the first sort of revisionist early history books. And what they were saying was fascinating. The two authors were saying that all of the early stonework and so many of the statue, so much of the statue and so many of the messages that have been left behind from very early history indicate that they were trying to communicate something about sudden great catastrophes, and that what they were trying to communicate was essentially their knowledge that Earth goes through long periods of stable climate and stable, unchanging morphology, geology, and so forth. And then it suddenly, like Hamlet, it kind of goes crazy for a while.
Bang.
Bang. Exactly. It was a brilliant book and probably really seminal in the sense that so many people have followed that. Another brilliant book is Barbara Hand Clow's Catastrophobia.
Yes.
Which takes the idea that we're literally in amnesia about our own past because of a great catastrophe that we experienced.
One of the authors for Hamlet's Mill was, because I remember his first name, it's Giorgio de Santillana, I think his
name.
That's
right, and Hildegard von Detchen, I think.
That was his partner.
Yeah.
Okay. How did they have the vision to write what they did?
Congratulations on remembering that really difficult name,
well,
by the way.
Well, it's Giorgio.
Well, yeah, well, that's true, and you're George, so it's not so hard. Well, how did they? I mean, they really had incredible insight. They did, because it was seminal. They were starting. It's like Rand Flemeth, and of course he used the work of Charles Hapgood, but he extrapolated incredibly brilliant things from it. They were later picked up by Graham Hancock in Fingerprints of the God.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. But the beginners of these things, you know, neither of them are, I believe, around anymore. But the people who start these things are brilliant, incredibly brilliant people.